I have on the phone with me today Bill Pavich, Executive Director of the Prince George Urban Aboriginal Justice Society. Bill, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Pleasure to join you in this conversation.
So to start off, could you perhaps tell us a little bit about the society and the work that you do?
Well, Prince George Urban Aboriginal Justice Society was established in 1997, so we have a long history in the Indigenous community and also a long history in trying to help people to reduce the number of Aboriginal people in conflict with the law. And we're really, the roles of our organization are really diversion, reintegration, and prevention. And we offer a number of programs to both adults and youth, whether it be adult diversion programs, youth diversion programs. We also, you know, have a contract with Prince George Regional Correctional Center where we provide staff to assist clients in understanding Aboriginal-based cultural practices and learn to be more connected spiritually and culturally, and also to provide elder support and leadership.
Yeah, so what do we know about the current state of affairs? What are kind of the most recent numbers? And more importantly, what do they tell us about the issues facing Indigenous peoples in the North?
Well, we know the numbers continue to be very high for the amount of overrepresentation of Indigenous folks within the correctional facilities. I mean, there's different stats out there, but really, I think it's pretty fair to say that at least 30% of the inmates in Canadian prisons are actually Indigenous, when they only represent 5% of the country's population. At any given time, even our local facility can have up to 75% of the folks in there are Indigenous inmates, which is concerning. I think that although we've made some commitments as a Canadian people, I still think we're falling short in lowering those numbers within our institutions.
Yeah, and what are some of the most significant barriers to the work that you're doing to decrease that number of Indigenous peoples involved in the judicial system and incarcerated?
Well, I think it's so complex, it's hard to define, you know, what course of action to address it. You know, we know that colonialism and other things that have systematically dispowered individuals from making it in our society, not only Indigenous people, is there, and how do we address it? I mean, you have so spread out that you have communities that have different capacities when you're dealing with lack of food, water, and you're trying to worry about your health, but I don't think you're too worried about how are you going to function in society and be able to, you know, contribute in such a way where you don't end up in a criminal justice system. But I think too, we're trying to make steps to address it. I think by providing culturally appropriate programming, I think that's a good step. Educating the folks that work, whether it be lawyers, judges, probation, police, about how to better deal with the Indigenous population in order for them to, you know, be able to get on the track, whether they can be part of society and not have to worry about the roadblocks that come in their way, such as being overrepresented in the criminal justice system.
So you mentioned the kind of three prongs, I hope I get this right, diversion, reintegration, and prevention.
Correct, yes.
As your organization's kind of focus. I'm interested to hear a little bit more about this youth diversion program. In your experience, what's the impact of an encounter with the system on a young person?
Well, we know the most ideal thing is to try to stop young people from getting in the criminal justice system, because we know, like, once you get immersed into that system, it's very hard to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the police have the capacity, if they have a young offender, to refer that client to us to participate in a justice circle or healing circle. Gives it a chance to divert them from the criminal justice system, at the same time maybe a chance to heal and to deal with some of the issues that got them to that table in the first place. And we do that by working one-to-one with them, by providing elder services, by providing a culturally safe environment for them to be in. I think so there's sort of many different layers about the diversion program.
I'm interested to hear a little more about this partnership with the BC First Nations Justice Council as well. What's that looking like so far? How's the work going?
Well, we formed a partnership with them about a year ago. I've only been in this position for 6 months myself, but I've had a chance to work with them a little bit in our office. I think they're a bunch of folks that really want to try to deal with the overrepresentation of Indigenous folks in the community. I think they've hired some key people in key positions. They're quite skilled. We have a lawyer that works out of our office under that organization, and he does quite a bit to help out people that have no other access to legal services.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to branch out into the community and try to form those partnerships and really allow these other Indigenous communities to have a voice in how they want the criminal justice system administered. And part of our job here is to provide them also a culturally safe place to bring their clients in to work with us. And we do have opportunities to engage them in some joint activities. But I think they're doing fairly well. I mean, they're fairly new. They've taken on a really challenging role. I think that they're doing the best they can. It's just going to be that time will tell how it works out for everybody. It's going to be a long journey, but I think they're up to it.
Yeah, it's a pretty new program. Lots of things still to kind of fall into place, I'm sure.
Yeah, if you look at, you know, they have like 25 strategies and seven pillars. They want to engage Indigenous communities, and there's over 200 Indigenous communities in British Columbia alone, and some with different capacities. And I think that's, you got to look at it case by case with community by community, but I wish them the best of luck.
Mm-hmm. So you touched on this a little bit just now, but what are some of the specific issues in Prince George in terms of community and Indigenous relationships with the RCMP here?
I'm not really sure of that because I've never spoken to the RCMP, nor do I have any access to clients that have dealt with them, but it's probably not much different than it is everywhere else. I mean, I think right now, especially challenging like with COVID, that it really immobilized us as a community. I think it's probably had a more dramatic effect even on the marginalized folks. We know that opiate overdose is out of control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dealing with COVID at the same time, and then I think the police have had their own struggles with their name, and people wanted to decommission the work that they do, and I think it's hard to manage all those things at the same time, be focused on the need to be compassionate. But, you know, a lot of the Indigenous folks in our community are not from our community, from outlying areas. And, you know, they come here because, as I do, we're the hub of the North, and some came here when the fires occurred, from my understanding, and some never left, and some have community supports, and I would say many don't. So it's very hard when you dealing with addiction, mental health issues, you're homeless, to be functioning in any society, and even during this time, it's maybe even more difficult.
Yeah, there's so many facets to take into account when considering people's lived experience. I think that some people have a hard time imagining alternatives to our current criminal justice system, and you've mentioned a few of the programs that the Urban Aboriginal Justice Society is currently working on. What are some of the other practices we can point to as alternatives to our kind of status quo, what we've become used to?
I think restorative justice has been in play for about 40 years within British Columbia, and the stats on it are very positive. It shows an ability to, right the harm that's been done, give the victims a voice, at the same time bring the community in, and it has that level of accountability that I think is proven to be effective. I don't know if you've ever been involved in the criminal justice system, and it does a lot of good work in many different areas, but it's not one shoe fits all. And, you know, one of the things that we're doing up here is Prince George has an Indigenous court, which basically allows, if an Indigenous person admits guilt to a offense, they can go to an Indigenous court for sentencing. At that time, they have access to two or three elders that are working hand in hand with the judge in order to try to get some balance in their life at the same time be accountable. I think that's a very positive step that we see now. In 1988 or so, federal corrections made some choices to put more culturally appropriate training and programs for Indigenous folks because they realized that it wasn't working for them to go into mainstream programming. I think folks like the Indigenous Justice Center, you know, they're trying to focus in on empowering Indigenous folks, letting them have a voice, and looking at other alternatives to the criminal justice system. I don't know if you're aware of the Gladue decision that is part of a criminal code, I think 7.18, that basically calls for the judges to look at the history of the individual that they have in front of them, how the past, you know, dictated their future, and also to look at restorative justice wherever possible. And I think those are positive steps forward to trying to address some of this, even though I think it's still just a small step in some ways.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't aware that was on the books there, so to speak. That's really interesting. So what can we look forward to? What are what are some aspirations for the organization and for you personally when doing this work?
I think the key still is to stay positive and at the same time compassionate. You know, it's a difficult time for all of us. You can see that, how it's wearing on the general public. And it also, you know, wears on the morale of people that are working in there providing services to others. I mean, every day you get on the radio and you hear how many breakouts there are and how, you know, there's not a lot of optimism. I think we have to stay focused and that there's many positive things that we're doing now as a society. Is instead of looking at our misfortunes, I think that we need to stay the course and really promote restorative justice. I read a research paper that only 52% of, you know, your average person even knows what restorative justice is. And I think we need to go out there and advocate and support it and show its value and try to divert people away from the criminal justice system. Cost over $100,000 to keep somebody in a federal institution a year. In fact, I would say it's more like $130,000, $140,000. So you can imagine if that money was spent towards building communities, making sure they had adequate water, medical services, that they had capacity to take care of their own people, because it's very hard to function in a world where you don't have clean water.
Yeah.
You have a place to sleep and no food. We know food insecurity is a big thing. And then the opiate addiction is, that's very frightening to how that's taken a foothold in the last year particularly.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in our region here in the north.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And if folks are interested in learning more about the Urban Aboriginal Justice Society or restorative justice, what resources, where might you direct them?
Go to our webpage, you'll see the information about our program. They're free to drop in and say hi to us, particularly if they're Indigenous. And, you know, we're always there to want to share a little bit about what we do within our organization and work in community partnership with other agencies that are working with this population. So, yeah, our site's pretty good. It gives a pretty good explanation of what we do.
Great. That's, I believe, pguajs.ca. Did I get that right?
You absolutely did, yes.
Perfect. Okay, well, Bill, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you speaking with me today.